for my final sermon here at Elam today, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the concepts that we did in the leadership seminar just a few weeks ago. But it was meaningful to me, and hopefully it will be meaningful to you. And also it ends a series that we've been calling Big Questions. And today the last question is, well, where do we go from here? But let me do a little bit of rehearsal. Remember, we go back and we to get it in our mind of some of the questions that we have looked at. The first review of the big questions. The first one is, how did it all begin? The very first week, 6 weeks ago. And how did it all begin? It all starts with God, a powerful, loving God, a God of all power, but still loves us and desires a fellowship with us. He creates a good creation. He creates humankind in His image and then puts them in the garden of delight to enjoy fellowship with the world that He created and with Him. And then question number two was, what went wrong? Why does the world not look like the garden of delight all the time now? And we discovered that humankind has a way of declaring independence. We like going our own way and making our own decisions, our own choices, independent from God, and we call that sin. And then the third week we talked about, is there a plan to make the world right again? And we find that even though mankind's trying to get away from God, God's always stepping toward us. By His love and His grace, He keeps looking for us. And He promises that the work of the enemy will be defeated, and that He uses Israel and Abraham, and then finally He sends Jesus to make the world right again for those that would confess Jesus Christ as Lord. 4 weeks ago, we talked about what is God's plan for me. And we find that not only is it a plan for the world, but it's a plan for all of us. That we respond to Jesus, and then out of our response, we live in His love, and we work for good. We work for His glory, and God gives us a purpose and meaning in life. And then last week, we talked about what's God's plan for the church. And the church is to have the character and mission of Jesus. That we're to be the family of God that worships and praises the name of Jesus, and that we're called to live for Him and also called to be a witness to a world that desperately needs to know the love of Jesus Christ. And now this last one. Well, where do we go from here? Which is, sounds a little strange, but it reminds me of a story about a fired up pastor. He was preaching a sermon and he got kind of in his mind an illustration and he went with it. He said, our church needs to get back to the basics. We need to become like a little baby and just get down on our hands and feet and crawl. And we need to crawl, church, like we've never crawled before. This church needs to crawl before the Lord. And they started, yes, amen. And from the back, a voice went out, let her crawl, preacher, let her crawl. The pastor got fired up and he said, we need to work. We need to study the Word. We need to strengthen ourselves so that we can take a stand and be strong in our faith. And we need to stand for the Lord. And they shouted, amen, from the back. The guy said, let her stand, preacher, let her stand. So he gets even more encouraged, and he says, we just need to take one step at a time. And not only just standing, but we need to put one foot in front of the other and do what God has called us to do. And this church needs to walk in the Lord. This church needs to walk for the Lord. And they're shouting, amen, let her walk, preacher, let her walk. Now the pastor's really feeling good. So he says, this church needs to start running for God. He says, you're going to have to make a commitment. You're going to need to be here every Sunday when the doors are open. You're going to have to commit to tithing. You're going to have to commit to giving financially every week so we can expand the ministries. We need to get up so we can run for the Lord. This church needs to run from the Lord. And it was kind of quiet. And finally, the voice in the back said, let her crawl, preacher. Let her crawl. Well, you know, we've done a little crawling at Elam. We've done a little standing. We've done a little walking. We've done a little running, I believe. The Lord calls us, you know, to do a lot of things in the church. And I've had a wonderful time doing all these things with you. We've laughed a little, hopefully not all at me, but hopefully with me. We're on our way on Tuesday down to Arkansas to see my mother. So if I was preaching the next week, I'd have a lot of Arkansas stories to tell you. But we've laughed a little bit, and that's been good. I've also been privileged to see a mortgage that was burned, and that was getting up and running a little bit, wasn't it? That was a good thing. And I've also watched as the church committed to tithing to Calvary International Church, and it began kind of a snowball of other churches getting on board, and God has used that in a mighty, mighty way. Seeing you get behind us as we talk about going to Zambia and the ISAP project with the Love Hope project. So we just appreciate us doing a little standing and running for the Lord. It's been good to see new faces, and new faces from different ethnicities has been really, really exciting. It's been, I was looking back in 18 months, 15 new people baptized over the last few months, new members, children. It's been good. We've seen the Lord do some wonderful things. But the question still now is, where do we go from here? Sounds like a strange ending to the series. The other parts of the series have been kind of these positive theological tone to them. Begins with God. He has a plan to redeem us and a plan for all of us, and we're all shouting hallelujah. But then we get to the end and we say, well, but life happens and things change. Things never stay the same, and so we have to move on as the Lord calls us to move on. And that's what the passage is about that we just read. Joshua chapter 1 is about a time in a particular history of God's people where God had called Abraham and had blessed him and multiplied his family greatly. But then during a famine, God took them down to Egypt to protect them and so that they would have plenty to eat, but they wound up enslaved after a few generations. God, remember, had to raise up Moses to deliver his people, and now they came out of Egyptian bondage. They were headed back to the promised land, the land that God had given them and promised them. But because of their grumbling and lack of faith, they were given a 40-year sentence, a sentence in the desert. They had to wander around and wait for faith to grow again. And so the chapter of Joshua talks about the transitions, how things don't stay the same. But it says in that first verse, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all these people get ready to cross the river into the land that I'm about to give to you, to the Israelites. You see, things change. Moses dies. Now, I want you to know, just because I'm leaving doesn't mean I'm dying so that something new can happen. That's where the analogy breaks down, I hope. But God's people are faced with two big challenges in this passage. The first one is a leadership change. Moses had done wonderful things, but now Moses, his servant, is dead. And now Joshua is called to get ready, get the people ready, and you've got to move them forward. And the second one is a location change. You see, they needed to cross now into the Jordan River, to the land that he was about to give them. They were not people destined to live in the desert. God didn't call them to spend another generation in the desert, but it was time for change. It was time for them to move forward. And so where do we go from here? What are some of the things that we need to talk about? And so I'm just going to spend a few moments talking about them. First thing is that ministry momentum is developed by recognizing the need for change. Now, a lot of these thoughts come from a book, Wayne Schmidt, on ministry momentum that I used for the leadership training. But the first thing is that ministry momentum is developed by recognizing the need for change. Sometimes, in order for good things to happen, you have to turn loose of mediocre things. You have to put aside the things that hold you back, and you have to move forward into the better things that God is calling you for. Sometimes for God to do something new, you have to turn loose of something old so that you can move in a new direction. Here's what Wayne Schmidt says in this book on ministry momentum. He says, personal and spiritual growth depends on our ability to see one chapter of life closing and a new one opening. These signals come in different forms. Personally, it could be a career change, it could be the loss of a relationship, it could be a physical move to a new place, or it could be health issues. They are met with either a desperate attempt to preserve the things, way things have been, or the recognition that things neither can nor will they ever be the same. And this is also true for churches. The ability to perceive new things that God is doing will keep a movement of God fresh and vital. You see, as a church or as a people, we can't stay in the desert. In order to get to God's promises, you have to turn loose of some of the things that you know in order so that you can move forward. So ministry momentum is developed by recognizing the need for change and constant growth. And the flip side of this is that ministry momentum is drained by denying the need for change. Like living in, you know, by the river of denial, right? You know, things change. Whether you, and here's the trick, whether you want them to or not, Things change. They just don't stay the same. I was thinking this week about just transitions, and I was going to Google it, which is a new thing. So I think about change in the last 20 years, and I thought as I got ready to Google it, wait a minute, when I was in high school, we maybe Googled the girls, you know, or oogled. Maybe oogled was the right word. Anyway, I better stop that. Anyway, I'm sorry, my mind's strange today. But of all the things in 20 years that was different, you know, how many of you were raised with either not a telephone or a party line telephone, where you had one little wired telephone in the house and picked it up, and the lady down the road was on the line, and you had to like hang up so she wouldn't hear you, or listen for a few minutes, and then, you know, here. Remember those days? And now we've got, you know, these wireless cell phones that everyone carries around in their pocket, and they've got global communication devices, and now they've got video chat and Bluetooth and SaberSaw or whatever they call all that stuff. I don't know what it is. But that communication has changed. You remember when you were taking a camera, those little 35 millimeter, and we'd take shots, you know, and then we'd take them somewhere. We used to have to take them to Fort Smith, which was 50 miles up the road, and that's the reason there was like 100 of them in the drawer that would never get developed. And we'd wait like a week and then drive back up and they'd have pictures, and it was amazing. And then Polaroid came out, where you just like, you took a picture and then you blew on it, you know, and tried to look. And now we've got digital cameras that you download to Walgreens, and then an hour you go down and pick them up. Or you've got Instagram and Snapchat and things I don't even know about and don't want to know about. Or going to the movies, you know, in Arkansas, we would hear of a movie coming out, and if we were in luck, it would be in our little theater in about 6 months. Maybe we'd get to see it. And now, you know, they put it out on VHS, now it's on DVD, now we've got a red box, now you've got video streaming and Netflix and Hulu or Zulu or Vudu or whatever they call all those devices, and you just get these movies instantly. It's just amazing. So you can deny that things will change, but that doesn't really stop change. So ministry momentum is about recognizing change, recognizing that things move forward, and not necessarily trying to stop it. So how do we prepare to move forward? First of all, first thing is acknowledge the loss. Acknowledge the loss. Now, what I mean by this is that for Joshua had a sense of losing his identity. If you look in the verse, it says that Joshua was Moses' aide. He was right beside Moses the whole way. Well, guess what? Now he's got a whole identity change. God now, as Moses dies, looks at Joshua and says, "Now you are the leader." Scary. Leadership change. And you have to acknowledge the loss. He was probably pretty secure with just hanging out with Moses and following Moses and letting Moses lead. But now he had to put to death that identity, and he had to step out into leadership. The loss of familiarity. I've got a feeling that they were pretty accustomed to the desert. They'd figured out how to get by in the desert. They'd figured out how to get food and find water. They were existing in the desert. But you see, they had to deal with the loss of familiarity. God didn't intend for them to live in the desert. He intended for them to cross the Jordan and go to the new territory, the place where God wanted them to live. They were going to have to exercise faith. And by definition, that means moving beyond the familiar places of your life and stepping out. So you sometimes have to acknowledge the loss, that things aren't going to always be familiar, things aren't always going to be the same, but we need to step forward and recognize that things may be different. The next thing I want to say is that you don't get stuck between chapters. Don't get stuck between chapters. And what Schmidt is, he talks about this in his book, he's talking about, you know, in the book there, you find that you go to bed with people leading out of Egyptian slavery, but now you open a new chapter of Joshua, and now it's time to move. It's time to go. Right between chapters, now God's moving them in a new direction. And so while each of us may have the right to process change at our own speed, we don't have the ability to stop it. And so we need to get a sense of looking for the active pursuit of God. God's always calling us to move forward. And don't get stuck between chapters. Sometimes we get familiar with the way the story is at the ending of that chapter, but there's five more chapters to go. You've got to keep moving forward in order to really get to the place that God wants you to be. So don't just stop in the middle of the book and get familiar there and just want to stay there. You can't. There's more chapters. There's more living. There's more things that God wants for Elam Church in the next chapter, and in the next chapter, and in the next chapter. So don't get stuck in one chapter and freeze there. But there's more of the story to go. And then the next thing is that watch your focus. In the middle of transitions, you always need to watch your focus. Keep your eyes on what God is doing. It's always easy in the middle of change and transition to kind of lose your footing, and now you start looking down at your feet and you start looking back at the past and you start thinking that things aren't the same or it won't be the same. And it's easy to get your eyes off of God and onto the change and the circumstances. But keep your eyes on what God is doing in your church. Keep your eyes on what God is doing in your life. Keep your focus on the Lord and His direction and His call. And you need to get ready to move on as God is directing to call you all to move forward. And so don't focus so much on the situation as much as see it as an opportunity to get our eyes on God. And God has great things for Elam Church. And then the next thing is anticipate the future. Anticipate the future. Get excited. He told Joshua, get ready. Get up and get the people ready. You see, Smith says this, I like it. He says, anticipating the future does not mean rejecting the past, but it does mean learning from it so that you can move forward. You see, celebrating the past doesn't mean you get stuck there. What it means is you learn from it, you build on it, and you anticipate the future and you build on it. So that's what God is calling you to do, to get excited about the future, to get ready, to anticipate what God is going to do, to pray so that your eyes are focused on what God has for you personally and for Elam, and that you will get excited because God is leading you to great things. Now, having the courage to move forward, we can say these are some things that we need to do, but you know, it takes courage to stay steady when there's change. So here's some suggestions that Schmidt makes in his book that I thought was really good. He said, you must be able to perceive the new thing that God is doing. You must be able to perceive the new thing that God is doing. In the passage that we read, he tells Joshua, I'm going to give you every place where you set your foot. And he says, and this will be your territory that will extend. You see, this is new. They were used to living into the desert with really no place. They were just nomads. But now God's already saying, this is your territory. This is where your land is going to be. This is where the promised land is going to be. And these are the markers of where it's going to be. You see, they had to get a vision for the new thing that God was doing. Now from the desert to now to this land of plenty that God was moving them to. And then not only the new thing that God is doing, but he also says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people. The new thing that God is doing is that as they're moving, he's raising up new leaders. He's raising up new people. And then as you do that, he says it at least three times in this passage, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous because you're going to lead these people into the land that they are inheriting. You see, God wants to do new and great things. He doesn't just do... Aren't you glad that God is creative and that he just doesn't do the same things over and over and over again? But he's got new things. He's got new places. He's got new ways to be involved in the community. He's got new people that need to be touched around this area. He's got new faces that need to be a part of the church that isn't part of the church yet. He's got new ministries that haven't been birthed yet. He's got new energy from the Lord that you haven't even tapped into yet. But you see, you must be able to perceive new things that God is doing. And then the last thing is that you must not let fear keep you from God's promises. You must not let fear keep you from... There's always fear in doing new things. Have you ever started a new job and you're wondering, you know, how am I going to fit in? Started a new school, wondering how you're going to fit in. Anything new where you're moving from here to there creates some kind of fear. Could be the fear of failure. It could be just the fear of the unknown. How many of you like like routine, you know. You just kind of like knowing what's ahead of you. Most of us do in some fashion, you know. Fear of failure, fear of a new level of commitment. You see, to get to the new, promised land, it wasn't as if God says it's over there, just walk over there, but they had to fight for it. He had to prepare God's people to move in with levels of commitment and prayer and seeking God, and it wasn't going to be easy every step of the way. And so there's all kinds of fear, whether it's failure or unknown, or that if there's new levels of commitment to be had. But you see, God doesn't want you to let fear keep you from the good places and promises of God. Smith says this, "I've discovered that every time God wants me to do something new, He wants to do it through me. He also wants to do something new in me." You see, just because God says there's something new for this church means that He's also something He wants to do in your life. There's new faith for you, new gifts and ministries for you, new places of growth for you personally. And as each member steps up and says, "This, I'm not going to let failure, I'm not going to let fear, I'm not going to let the unknown keep me from being all that God has called me to be." And then when collectively you put all of that together, you have a church that's energized, ready, anxious to hear what God is going to do, prayerful about the new places that God is going to lead you. You must not let fear keep you from the promises of God and what God wants to do in your life. So I just want to say that this is a time of transition for you. I'm not preaching at you because it's a time of transition for me as well, and for Kathy and for Lindsay and Austin, even though, you know, Lindsay doesn't live with me any longer. I know she looks like she's 14, but she's actually married to Austin and out on her own. But it's a transition for us as well. And so we're not just preaching to you, I'm preaching for all of us. That transition and change is never easy. But God has great things for you. I believe God has things for my family. I want to tell you that it has been wonderful preaching and serving and ministering to you over the last 18, 19 months. This is truly a wonderful, wonderful congregation. And I also know and believe that this is not just a trite sermon that I pulled out to share with you, but I truly believe that there is some promises of God that rests on this church, and that as you go through transition and change, if you just recognize the power of the Lord, that there is new promises, new places, new ministries, new people that this church will impact. There's new ways that God's going to use you. There's new ministries that will be born. There's new leaders that are going to be developed. There's new young people that's going to be brought in and trained and won to the Lord. I believe that God has wonderful, wonderful things in store for this church and for you. And so my prayer for you, as we won't be together, harnessed together on a weekly basis, is that I will pray for you that you will just let God do and be everything in this church. And hopefully you'll pray for me and our family that we'll let God lead us and guide us to be all God created us to be. Is that a deal? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy that calls us not to stay in one place. You know, we don't have the luxury of just stopping change. There's forward movement in the walk of the Lord. There's new places to grow, new places you lead us, new places you direct us. There's new ministries that we are called to. So I just pray that you would not give us a spirit of fear, but you'd give us the spirit of faith, and that you would call and equip these people to be all that God is calling you to be right in this place, in Moline and in the Quad Cities, that you would use them for your glory and your honor. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.